just to be in God's presence. It really is. And many aren't with us today, but the good news is we are the body of Christ. There are many that are on vacation. Some will be at that Fred Astaire gathering today in honor of William Penn. And I know Dick and Bonnie Curtis have such a passion for the history of our nation and of Pennsylvania, which is such a key part of what God is doing. And I believe the restoration is coming here. It's coming here. And we're so blessed to be alive in this time. We really, really are. And so anyway, last week I preached on love, right? Love is. Love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is doesn't keep a record of wrongs. You know, the whole love chapter. And we discovered that when I put my name in, my husband almost fell off the chair. Teresa is patient. Well, some of you know me to be patient, but I live with Pastor Angel. He knows the real me. And he knows sometimes I'm not. Sometimes we just don't do it. But when we put in that God is, and Christ in us is the hope of glory, that was just so amazing to realize we rely on him when we can't be loving, when we want to keep the record of wrongs, when we want to be jealous, and that we get that Holy Spirit nudge and we yield to Christ in us and his love flows to us and through us. Such a powerful thing. And we had a lot of fun last week. I am not passing out potato chips, but you know, for some of you that may not have been here, I had these kettle cooked ugly chips, the rejected chips. And we said, it's kind of like, aren't we all a little bit like that? But they say that they're always ugly and always delicious. And when the love of God salts us, we're salt and light to the world. We're salt and light. And it's just so awesome. And last week I threw these out and everybody got to taste them. I recommend buying them. They are delicious if you love potato chips. Yes, you know what? Here, I'm going to give it to you guys. so good. God is so good. And anyway, so this week I want to talk more about love. It's amazing that I have the pulpit twice, 2 weeks in a row, and I thank you, Angelo, for giving me this opportunity. And it's going to take a little bit of a turn, but I'm talking about love again. Talking about love. Because God is love. He is love. And you know, so the question was, did we learn to love? That was the question last week. Did we learn to love? When we get to heaven, saying, if that's the question God asked us, how would we respond? Did you learn to love? We went over John 4:16. God is love. He who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Going to be talking a little bit more about that today. Colossians 1:26. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we're always ugly and always delicious because Christ is in us. We carry that hope. We carry that love. We have the choice to make in every situation. And so I was tested in this week. We were having a big family party yesterday for my granddaughter, Aurora. She's a year old. And so we had all the preparations, all the shopping, relatives arriving on Wednesday, my brother Ray and his family, friends from Pittsburgh arriving on Friday, a whole mess of people coming today. And right away, I'm tested. I'm tested because I said, people are always the problem. We can love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, but people are always the problem. It's always the thing that we have to work out. And God tests our heart through the people that he puts around us. And boy, oh boy, do I have some. Yeah, amen, amen. He said, starting with him. You know, God will test us in the most important relationship of our life. And we still have to do what's right. We don't get a pass. We don't get a pass. We can't get too comfortable because we need to honor God and the world needs to know Jesus. And I believe people at our home yesterday that have no clue saw a bit of Jesus. They sought a bit of Jesus. There was one woman, and she's actually my daughter-in-law's mom. She nuzzled up next to me, and she just wanted to hear about love. She just wanted to know that she's loved. She's really had a hard, hard, hard life. In the middle of the party, in the middle of the activities, she's sitting right next to me because she wants to hear about God's love. The world needs the love to flow to us and through us. And we're always going to be challenged in it, and we always have a choice. And that's going to get more into the nuts and bolts of what I'm talking about. You see, because I believe, we had a wonderful time of worship. I believe when we sing, God inhabits our praises. We're to lift up our voices in praise. We're to praise Him in the morning, in the evening, and at night. But you know what real worship is? Do you know what the highest form of worship is? Obedience. It's obedience. That's not a word that we like. I told you a long time ago, I took it out of the wedding vows. I wasn't saved yet. I didn't like the obey word. It's like, hey, you know, we're one, and you know. But I have found the obey word to be very, very freeing. I'm most free when I do it God's way. Most free. I had a woman's libber say, are you kidding me? And I'm like, no, I'm not. To submit to your husband out of love for Christ is the highest form of love. And for him to lay down his life as Christ did for the church, highest form of love. It's just so amazing. And so Christ in us is the hope of glory. We talk about abiding. He abides in us, you know. And in John 14, 15 through 7, Jesus said, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home in them. He really lives in us. And it's just a matter of us yielding to that, yielding to it, because everything we need for life and godliness is in us. The Holy Spirit comes, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It says we will come to them and make our home in with them. He abides in us, he lives in us, and Jesus is our example. You know why? He did everything the Father told him to do, when he told him to do it, how he told him to do it. He just did it exactly the way that God said. Now, we talked about Moses a bit last week. Moses, my dear friend Moses, how he lost it in a moment of not doing it the way God said. He had done everything else right, and this is not a condemnation message at all, but he didn't do it exactly the way God said. And we all want our own way, don't we? I mean, I have little grandchildren. No, me, mine. You know, mommy says this, and they say, yeah, not yet. You know, when we're teaching those little ones to obey, we teach them to obey first time. I was a preschool teacher. I wanted my children to know first time. When I say sit, you sit. When I say you go to the carpet, you go to the carpet. And you know what? We had the most fun class. We really did. Because everybody knew what they were supposed to do, when they were supposed to do it, and how they were supposed to do it. And it's just amazing that the same little lessons that we would teach children, that we're still learning. We're still learning. First time obedience. Hallelujah. Jesus said, obey my teaching, keep my commandments. He expects that same instant obedience from us. John 14, 21, whoever has my command and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Did we learn to love? Have we learned to love God? You know, we said it was easy to love God. I said last week, it's easier to say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But is it? Is it? Is it? Because if we equate obedience to love, then I have to look in and say, Lord, I want to be like this with you. I want to move with you. I want to pray when you say to pray. I want to be in the grocery store and you show me somebody. I want to be like that when he told me to take my water bottles and I met a woman 87 years old and had a conversation with her, filling my water jugs. I want to be that available, but sometimes we're not. Sometimes I'm thinking about somebody and I don't even pray. Brian, I've prayed for you many times. I pray for many of you many times, but there are times that I think of somebody and say, huh, and then something happens. And I said, oh, I missed it again. I didn't pray. Maybe my prayer would have changed something, maybe whatever, but to understand the voice of God and to be like Jesus was with the Father, abiding in his love. In John 14:24, it says, whoever does not love me does not keep my words. The word that you hear is not my own, but it is from the Father who sent me. And John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. That's where I want to remain. I don't want to remain in his love. And 2 John 1:6 says, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. A lot of times we're better at the talking, right? We're a whole lot better at talking and knowing what to say, but to walk it out, to live it out. And sometimes you don't even have to say the words when you're living it out. Sometimes it's something happens and you are just quiet. And you're saying, oh, Jesus, you've got this. You've got this. Because I am yours and you are mine and you live in me. And it's not about me or my feelings or anything else. Walk according to his commandments. Not talk the talk, but walk the walk. The world needs to see us walking the walk more than talking the talk. I hear people, they're tired of hearing the talk without the walk. And good news is, God is working in the church. I believe God is working through our church. I believe this little church is having such an impact in the kingdom on many, many, many levels. You know, that we're having this event, that it was going to be, you know, taking a small thing that God has given us, the soup kitchen, and saying, we're going to move it to the parking lot and have other churches, your church, join us, Feet on the Street, join us. All of a sudden, we've stepped up to a big event, popcorn machines and cotton candy and prayer tents. It was going to be just some tables on the parking lot, loving the people. I believe where we are walking the walk here. People that are faithful to go to Spruce Manor, people that are just faithful to doing every single thing, other ministries in the church for Mary and John to be praying and traveling. I mean, it's amazing for Mercy Crisis Pregnancy Center, for the Hope Rescue Mission. There's so many connections, and God is moving. But on a daily basis, I have to ask myself, am I walking the walk? You know, and it's always fun with family, huh, Ray? We left. Oh, never mind. This is being recorded. We left a couple of family members at the house that don't get along. So, Lord, touch them. Touch them. Do something. And I spoke this word to each of them just in conversation. And there's a beginning of a knowledge, you know, just saying, hey, last week I preached about these ugly potato chips, you know, not saying I'm talking to them, you know. That never works very well. But we abide in him. He lives in us. Revelation 21:3 says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He's with us, and we definitely feel his presence today. And it's because we've come to seek him. It's because we've come to praise him. You know, but then to transfer that to our everyday life, to our day-to-day, work-a-day world, the things that we do, especially even in our own homes, to have the guarded hearts and the willingness to obey. And so last week I talked about God's love and his grace to some extent, and today I'm going to talk about the loving Father. You might also know that chapter in the Bible as the prodigal son, but the loving Father. We have a good, good Father. He is our friend. He loves us, even when we're unlovable. He wants to shine to us and through us. And that's my prayer a lot, is like, you know what? Would you shine to me and through me? You know, because let the world see you and not the part that's me, because they need you and they don't need me very much, you know? But I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation. If you would turn with me to Luke 15. And so in the Passion Translation, verse 15:11 says, "Then Jesus said, 'Once there was a father who had two sons. The younger son came to his father and said, "Father, don't you think it's time to give me the share of your estate that belongs to me?" So the father went ahead and distributed among the two sons their inheritance. Shortly afterward, the younger son packed up all his belongings and traveled off to see the world. He journeyed to a far-off land where he soon wasted all he was given in a binge of extravagant and reckless living. With everything spent and nothing left, he grew hungry, for there was a severe famine in the land. So he begged a farmer in that country to hire him. The farmer hired him and sent him out to feed the pigs. The son was so famished, he was willing to even eat the slop given to the pigs, because no one would feed him a thing. Humiliated, the son finally realized what he was doing, and he thought, "There are many workers at my father's house who have all the food they want with plenty to spare. They lack nothing. Why am I here dying of hunger, feeding these pigs and eating their slop? I want to go back home to my father's house, and I'll say to him, 'Father, I was wrong. I have sinned against you. I'll never be worthy to be called your son. Please, Father, just treat me like one of your employees.'" That was son number one. And so the son set off for home. From a long distance away, his father saw him coming dressed as a beggar. And a great compassion swelled up in his heart for his son who was returning home. So the father raced out to meet him. He swept him up in his arms. He hugged him dearly and kissed him over and over with tender love. The younger son. The younger son wanted to go discover himself. Anybody ever been there? Anybody have children that have been there? He told the father, "Give me my inheritance." You know what that was like saying? "I wish you were dead. And give me the money." It was such a really, really nasty thing. But the father then gave both sons their inheritance. And, you know, in our culture, I remember sometimes my kids would say this, "I can't wait till I'm 18. Until they were 18. Then they want your money. They want you to get them a car. They want you to pay their tuition. But they couldn't wait till they're 18, you know. And so that was a son that we can, you know, we can identify many of us with. Anyway, the father gave them his inheritance. And shortly afterward, he went out and traveled the world and wasted everything that was given to him. Can I say we've been given much? We talked about the wasted potato chips. By saving those potato chips, 25 million more people can be fed. By walking the way God wants to walk, how many more souls will be saved? How many? The time, it's ticking, and they need Jesus, the real Jesus, the real Jesus. Oh, he wasted all he was given. He was reckless, and we've been given great riches. I don't want to waste them. I don't want to waste them. Everything was spent, and nothing was left. He grew hungry. And I say, oh Lord, that we would grow hungry. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Make me more hungry. Make me more hungry. I want to be hungry. But he was humiliated. He was humbled. He wanted to go back to his father's house. And he said the words that are the hardest words to say. Father, I'm sorry. I was
wrong.
Who likes to say I was wrong? Those are not the words that slip off the tongue so easily. But I'll tell you, they're powerful words. Yesterday, I believe I was wronged. My friend Shirley was in the kitchen when something happened. And you know, by God's grace, when somebody just got ugly for no apparent reason, I said, I'm sorry I offended you. And it dissipated. It dissipated. I wasn't even wrong. But it dissipated. Those are powerful words. And if you are wrong, to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Oh my goodness, how those words change things. That changes everything. Not, oh, yes, I was wrong, but you, when we're looking at you, nothing changes. But when we take the ownership, God changes everything. And Jesus was not wrong. He did nothing wrong. And he humbled himself and he took it all the punishment, the death on the cross for us. He's our example. And he lives in us. He dwells in us. It's so amazing. He was humiliated, and the father was running to that son. He saw the son in the distance, from a long distance away. He saw him coming dressed as a beggar. And with great compassion, he ran to that son that was returning home. I have sons that I'm waiting by the window. Some were at my home yesterday, you know? I'm waiting for the day when they return. I'm so glad that they still come. Oh my goodness, what a blessing that is. That's a bit of love, but I'm waiting. I cannot wait for that day when they say, yes, I've come back to the Lord. And I know it's coming. You know why? God spoke it. Yes. I'm not fretting. The devil's not getting one bit of any of me about that, because God said, and God is saying things to you. God is saying things. Stand on that. Believe. Believe for your prodigals to come home. Believe for your marriages. Believe for your finances. Believe for your healing. He's done it all.
Yes.
9 years this summer free of breast cancer. 9 years. They said I was going to die. Last year they said there are no protocols for my case. Hallelujah. God did something, and he's doing something for you, and he loves you. Don't ever think, oh, yeah, he did it for her, but, oh, not me. No, God has blessings.
Yes.
He's waiting to just pour out the blessing, to put that robe around you, to put the ring of authority on your finger, and the authority that we can walk in when we're that yielded is what the world needs. You said our hearts need to be circumcised. Yes, we need, last week I said that face-to-face with God, and also that's compared to mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Holy Spirit, breathe fresh on me. Breathe fresh on me. We all need that refreshing, and God loves each and every one of us. Don't ever look at somebody else and think they're more blessed. Uh-uh, the blessing is yours. You know, and love is not jealous. Remember I said that last week? It's not jealous. And all that God has is ours. Is ours. And the authority that we can walk in as his sons and daughters, that the sick will be healed, the dead will be raised, but most of all, that the world would know him. That they would know him, that they would be saved from their sin and walk a life of abundance rather than of destruction. Dressed as a beggar, the father swept him up in his arms, hugged him and kissed him over and over with tender love. Then the son said, Father, I was wrong. I've sinned against you. The father interrupted and said, Son, you're home now. You know what? Who cares? Who cares about all that? You're home now. You're home. You're home. It's so amazing. It's so amazing, the love, the perfect love that he has for us. He put on the best robe, the ring, the emblem of authority. The son could then transact business in his father's name. We can do business in God's name. We do his business. And if we're not, then it's time to say, oh God, I want more. I need more. What is it? For me, it was obedience. I didn't want to obey. I didn't. I wanted my way. He killed the fatted calf and had the big feast, the big party. And now I want to talk about the older son. We're going to skip down to verse 25. Now the older son was out working in the field when his brother returned. And as he approached the house, he heard music of celebration and dancing. So he called over one of the servants and asked, what's going on? Just even reading this is kind of funny, like how we interact in families. What's happening for him? Huh? What about me? You know, what's going on over there? The servant replied, it's your younger brother. He's returned home, and your father is throwing a party to celebrate his homecoming. The older son became angry and refused to go in and celebrate. So his father came out and pleaded with him, come and enjoy the feast with us. The son said, Father, listen, how many years have I been working like a slave for you, performing every duty asked as a faithful son, and I've never once disobeyed you, but you've never thrown a party for me because of my faithfulness. Never once have you given me a goat that I could feast on and celebrate with my friends like he's doing now. But look at this son of yours. He comes back after wasting your wealth on prostitutes and reckless living, and here you are throwing a great feast to celebrate for him. The father said, my son, you are always with me by my side. Everything I have is yours to enjoy. Can I say that again? Everything I have is yours to enjoy. It's only right to celebrate like this and be overjoyed because this brother of yours was once dead and gone, but now he's alive and back with us again. He was lost, but now he's found. The older brother was angry. He refused to celebrate. Can you say sometimes we're like that? We watch somebody else's ministry thriving, or, you know, we watch somebody else being blessed. You know, we see sometimes even, you know, maybe even the imbalance, like, hey, Lord, I'm living right. Why does everybody else in my family have all the wealth? You know, and we're driving the clunker. We're not driving a clunker now, but we've been there before, you know. We've been in that place, you know, and I ask those questions. What's going on? And I had to learn to obey. I had to learn to be thankful. I had to learn to let me die a little bit more. And I heard a lot of I in this particular version from the older brother. And I've said it before, I, ay, 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 ay. But we can be like that. We can be like that. In that culture, hospitality was of supreme importance. So to refuse to go to that party was a big, big diss. It was a big diss. His refusal to go was humiliating to his father. It was a rejection of his father. The son said, Father, listen, how many years have I? And he said, and I've never once disobeyed you, and you've never given me, a goat, and I and me. But you know what? Seemingly from the outside, the one son was the rebel. It's easy to see what a rebel is. Even the rebels know they're rebellious. They know I'm a sinner. They don't have any problem with that. But I'll tell you what, as a little Catholic girl, I had a tougher time. I was more like the other son. I was what I thought was obedient. I was a good little girl, according to my mom. And I was mostly a good girl, according to my teachers. But I had sin in me. When I first heard the gospel, I couldn't receive Jesus because I thought, well, I'm not a sinner. I'm good. I'm better than that one and this one. And it took more years than it should for me to recognize that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And I'm so thankful. You know, but I said obedience is the highest form of worship. And seemingly, this older brother was the good kid. He was the obedient one. He stayed. He didn't run off and live recklessly. And so I wonder if we could be like that sometimes. The highest form of worship is obedience. More than an act of obedience is surrendered obedience. You see, we could talk a talk and walk a walk that looks okay. And we think, yeah, I'm fine. And deep down, we could be like this older brother that need things exposed so that we can be healed, so that we can be set free, so that we can walk in the fullness of authority of what God has given. And you know, this isn't a typical message that I preach, but I only want to say what God gives me to say. And this is what he gave me to say. And so I'm examining me. I don't want to just look like I'm doing the right thing. I want to live the right thing before my God. The time is short. The time is short. Proverbs 1:7, how then does man gain the essence of wisdom? We cross the threshold of true knowledge when we live in obedient devotion to God. Obedient devotion to God. Obedient devotion to God. Not just reading your Bible for 10 minutes and going to this prayer meeting and showing up for this or that. Obedient devotion to God. Now that's in the Passion Translation. Most versions call it the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Fear in Hebrew implies submission, awe, worship, reverence. Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done, when he was facing the cross. None of us have had to face that cross, but there are decisions every single day. Every single day. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Love the Lord your God. Obey with reverent submission, awe, worship, and reverence. And so my prayer today is, cleanse my heart, O God. Cleanse my heart, O God. The older son's heart was exposed. He was doing all the right things, but his heart wasn't right. The younger son was selfish, disobedient, dishonoring. His sin was exposed, and his heart broke. He admitted, I was wrong. His heart changed, and he said, I'll even be a servant in my Father's house. Do you know what? I come across people, they want to do things in front. They want to do all the things in front. But can we be happy scrubbing a bathroom if that's what God asks us to do? Could we do the things like many of you do, where you labor and nobody else sees? See, that's the worship. The songs are beautiful. The humility of your team, the honor for God comes through. That's not always the case. Some want to sing to be up front. God wants us to get to that place of reverence and awe, that we would do anything, anywhere. Anything, anywhere. For me, I clean up public bathrooms. It's a mandate. I see something on the floor, I get a paper towel, I clean it all up so that the next person doesn't walk into it. I don't know what he's telling you to do. I don't know how he's speaking, but I know he's speaking. I know he's speaking, and I know every now and then he wants to shine the light of his love on our heart to expose. See, I love when I'm around my family. You know why? Then I learn with what I have to deal with. Change me, oh God. Change me. How can I love? How can I be love? How can I show them you? How can I do this? Christ in me. Help me, Lord. I'm not feeling love. I'm feeling hurt. Lord, heal that hurt. I yield it to you. You see, all these things, and we give ourselves a pass about everything. Because we come to church, we do all the right things, and I like to give myself a break. You know? And yet, God wants to get in my heart and show me and bring things to the light so that I can be changed to be more like him. And that's my heart's desire. You know, sometimes we pray those prayers, you know, Lord, have your way in me. And then we start getting, everything starts going wrong. All the challenges come. Well, that's the answer to our prayer, because he's showing us how much we need him and how much we need his love to set our hearts free. Because this loving father went running to that son and he said, it's just so good you're here. Nothing else. Not where were you? What'd you do? Why'd you waste all the money? No. You're here. You're here. He loves you. He loves you. Do you believe he loves you? And he loves me. And he wants that love to shine to us and through us. Amen. So, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for that love, that perfect love, that you are always the loving Father. You are always, Lord God, always meeting us where we're at and taking us to where you want us to be. And I pray, Lord God, Lord, that we would yield to you like never before. Oh, Lord Jesus, make us useful in your hands, that we would shine in this world, that we would be salt and light. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Wow. She can beat you up and make you feel good about it. My goodness. Hallelujah. Franny, would you come back with the team, please? I don't know if you have another song available, or you can repeat one of the songs, anything that you sense in the spirit.